Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. And coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry.
So coming off a 15-6 win over Villanova in the game on Tuesday night and looking ahead to the trip to Dartmouth on Saturday, but let's talk a little bit about where your team was coming out of the game or going into the game Tuesday and then coming out of it. And, I mean, I looked this up, and you had lost two in a row. The last time you lost three in a row was 2010, and then before that was 2003. And three games in a row is not a lot of games, so to have that level of consistency is pretty remarkable. Were you aware of the fact that it had been so long since you had a three-game losing streak? And do you remember the three-game losing streak in 2003 because you beat two of those
absolutely.
Teams?
I remember the three-game losing streak in 2003 because I think we were 1-3 at the time. And the mantle of being the defending national champion was now lifted from us. We just had to figure out what kind of team we were going to be. So I definitely remember those. And 2010, that was a tough year for us. So it doesn't surprise me when you mention those two years, but I hadn't realized that those were the only times in recent history.
So if you go back to 03, and I didn't look before then, but I can't imagine there were too many before. There certainly wasn't one in 02. But going back to 03, losses early in the season to Loyola and Virginia, which were the two teams that you beat in the Final Four to win the national championship that year. So
yeah.
But let's go back to where you were after the two-game losing streak and then having to sit on it for 6 days, not playing on Saturday again and having it be 70 degrees on that Saturday. And then coming into the game Tuesday night, appeared you guys were ready to play.
Yeah, absolutely we were ready to play. To be honest, it's nice to have those stretches of time where you do have 4 or 5 days of practice where you can really focus on yourself. We're about to enter a time period where we've got two games a week for 3 weeks in a row, and it's going to be, you know, prep for game, prep for game, prep for game. You're scouting both days. So, you know, it's nice to have that time before we hit this stretch to really work on ourselves.
And what was it like before the game to see Julie Shaner Young on the field with her two daughters?
It was great. I had so much, you know, I really enjoyed being able to spend some good time with Shaner before the game and her two kids who were there. They were so cute. Little Sydney actually came into the head coach and officials meeting with us. And
I saw that.
She was just so happy about that.
I told Shaner after the game that, you know, because now it was 9:30 or whatever, and obviously Villanova had lost, and she introduced me to her, and she was like, you know. And I was like, she looked a lot more happy and energetic before the game started.
Yeah, I think they had fun, though. Shaner took him up to the soccer field and showed him around a little bit. So, and I got to brag on Shaner to her two kids and tell them how great she was and how many records she still, you know, owns here at Princeton.
So the game itself took 14 seconds to get a goal. That from Catherine Hallett. 2-2, so it wasn't a blowout, but after that, just a really steady, solid performance, and the losing streak went 15-6. What's your takeaway?
Takeaway was, you know, it was a great game for us to get ready for what we have lying ahead. I was really pleased with our ride. I thought we were relentless in our pressure in defensive transition. We caused 22 turnovers in that game, which I don't know that we keep track of these things, but in my mind, that hasn't happened in a long time. I mean, that's really unusual.
And I was the one actually entering all the stats, and when you're entering stats, you're not really paying attention. You're just mostly you're just focused to make sure you got the right number. So, like, was that 15 or 14? Or in your case, was it 6 or 8 or 5? Because all your numbers look the same. but you're not really paying that close attention to the numbers. And you get to the end. This happens all the time. You get to the end of the game, and you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that. And when I saw 22 caused turnovers, I was thinking to myself, were we giving too many caused turnovers? But we weren't. And we were just entering them.
Well, it was, you know, really was a great effort from our attackers and our midfielders on the ride. And then our defenders took some incredible risks with really well-timed interceptions and some stick checks that were really good. And the attackers were just relentless in the ride. I mean, Kyla, Tess, George, Allie, they really went after Villanova hard and forced them into a lot of errors.
March Donovan had 4 caused turnovers. She has a ton of caused turnovers.
Yeah.
4 ground balls leads the team in both, but really, you mentioned it wasn't just defenders. It was, and the other thing is, I think there were 22 caused turnovers. I didn't count this up. There had to be maybe 10 or 11 different players who had one at least, and about 7 who had at least 2.
Yeah, it was pretty well split, I think, between the ride and you know, the settled defense in terms of the caused turnovers. And our goal was to cause at least 5 turnovers on our ride in their clears before they could get into settled, and we did a great job in that regard.
So Catherine Howell had 3 points, that gives her 99 for her career. I was kind of hoping she would have gotten to 100 at home.
Oh, wow. Well, let's hope she doesn't get to 100 at home. Let's hope she gets that Saturday
well,
up at
Dartmouth.
I was hoping
that she would get it last night or in the game against Villanova. When you recruited her, did you see her being a 100-point scorer?
Well, we knew she was going to be just a feisty competitor. She started coming to our camps as a seventh grader, and we got to see her then, and we just thought she was going to be a special kid. Both Hallett and Izzy Mengen were kids who came to our camp as young kids who we identified as, you know, kids that we wanted to keep an eye on and potentially recruit for Princeton. And Hallett is just fast as lightning. You know, sometimes you wish there was a little bit of a switch where you could take it down just a notch. But she just plays all out all the time. She's an emotional player. She goes after it, and she's just really hard to stop because of her speed and explosiveness.
And then good games from a lot of other people. Kyla Sears had a good night. Elizabeth George had a good night.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave anybody out, but basically everybody who played had a good night. One thing is Shannon Berry with her first career goal.
Yeah, that was really nice to see. And we've been talking to Shannon because, you know, playing zones, which seems to be what we're playing most of the time this season, which is really new for us.
I was going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, earlier on. You know, it really was Kyla and George and Tess DeOrsi who were doing all of our scoring, and that's who we were looking for. And, you know, we just really made it clear that we're not going to beat these seven-person zones if we're only involving three kids, and that everybody on the perimeter had to be a threat and look for opportunities to dodge and cut and get good shots off. And so Shannon is a kid who had kind of sat back before, and she might be open, but she'd get the ball and she'd just pass it away. And so I was really pleased to see that she took that advice to heart, and, you know, she went strong to goal, and she capitalized on her opportunity.
She also had a cause turnover in the game.
Yeah.
No, she had two cause turnovers in the game. Two things, rules related. One is, and I mentioned this to you before, but I cannot stand the fact that when you get a yellow card, whether it's for you or against you, you now have a two-minute advantage, but a 90-second shot clock.
I know
that.
We've talked about that. It really doesn't make a whole lot of. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That might be something that they look to change.
And the other thing is zones. Like, it seems to me that there was. I can't remember people playing zone in women's lacrosse ever. And now all of a sudden it seems like there's a lot of them.
It was much more rare. I mean, last year we played a few zones, but most all of the top teams played a man, except for maybe Stony Brook and one or two others. And this year you just see a whole lot more zone defenses. And in some ways it does, you know, I think if you're concerned about the level of your defenders, their ability to handle great attackers one-on-one or with a slide. It's a good way to kind of slow other teams down and clog the middle a little bit more and take teams out of their normal offense. You know, you can't script things against a zone the same way you can script things against a man. And you can't come in with, you know, all of these set plays. You really do have to, I mean, you have principles, obviously, and you might have sets that you're working off of, but you really do have to read and see what's open. And it's challenging for the attack.
Well, the other thing that's challenging, to me at least, and I could be way wrong about this, but if you look at basketball, when you play zone, the way you beat a zone is you shoot over it.
Right.
Or in men's lacrosse, if the other team plays a zone, you have somebody from 15 yards out to rip shots. In women's lacrosse, you have to get to the goal to score.
Yeah, which is true. I
mean,
but
the other thing is, like, if I'm playing zone, how is every time somebody drives not shooting space?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That is something that you'll see. We can't shoot from the outside necessarily. If there are defend, we can. If there are no defenders in the way, but if they are, then you just have to pump and try and get that shooting space call. So it's all about the angle at which they approach, and if the zone is moving when the ball's in the air, you know, how far away from you is that defender when you catch it and you're looking to shoot. But you'll often see a lot of 8-meter shots when you're playing. Yeah, there were a lot of them.
One other thing from the game against Villanova, and not specifically to the game, but your team was featured in an NCAA lacrosse Instagram takeover. Did you see any? Are you an Instagram person?
Yeah, I am an Instagram person. And so Team Mio, we kind of watched what they had put up during the day. Yeah, I thought they did a lot of good stuff with it. It was fun to see.
And, you know, I think it's good because it's an extra layer of exposure that they control. So, you know, if I thought, I guess Allie Rogers was in charge of it.
Yeah.
And I thought she did a very good job and, you know, really made the team look good on the NCAA's Instagram.
Yeah, she did.
So now having turned the page on that, you have a short turnaround and a long bus ride. And it's all the way up to Hanover. And you're playing a team there that's hot. They've won six in a row, Dartmouth. 3-0 in the league. This game is the top two offenses, scoring offenses in the Ivy League right now. What's your sense on this one?
Well, again, Dartmouth's going to play us in a zone, and you know, so we've got to be ready for that. I think last year we had a lot of good looks against them, but their goalie was really hot against us. So we're going to have to, you know, I'm glad we had Villanova leading up to this game, because I think we sorted out a few things and we became much more threatening as an entire attacking unit against a zone defense. They're also very good on the draw. They have a kid who's pretty special at that. We did well last year overall against them in the draw, but she tends to control the draws against most people. And their attack, they have some great one-on-one dodgers, and they really do set up a lot of isolation. So we're going to have to play our best to beat Dartmouth. I'm sure it's going to be an incredibly competitive game up there, and it's going to be a big challenge for us, but we're excited for it.
So the quick turnaround from that game, is there anything that goes into that that concerns?
Well, it was nice today. I mean, since we have been practicing since last Friday, today is an off day for the team, so they get a chance to just recover from the game last night, get a little jogging, get a nice stretch and a rollout, maybe get into the training room. And then tomorrow and Friday, we'll practice here before we go up on Friday. And we'll really, usually 2 days out, we work our defense and get ready for their offense. And then Friday, we'll focus on our attack against what we plan to see from Dartmouth.
It's only your second overnight bus trip, so you've had...
Well, we had the Florida. We had
but
all
that's
that time.
Like, that's
yeah,
diff-
but then
the,
we had like four
right,
days
but this
in
is
Florida.
A little bit of a different thing. So you had the trip to Virginia, and it's a fairly similar length. But you know, there's pluses and minuses with that. But it is a long bus ride up to Dartmouth. But it's kind of interesting that it's only the second time this year that you're actually getting on the bus, driving to a school on a Friday to play on Saturday, and then drive back afterwards.
Yeah, we'll have a few more of those coming up, because we've got Yale on the road, and then we have Cornell on the road. It just has turned out that most of those away games have fallen in the month of April.
And so you had played, I think off the top of my head, it's 3 games in 23 days prior to the Villanova game, and now it's 7 games in 25 days. So obviously it gets really busy here.
It does.
And the league is going to sort itself out relatively quickly.
It will, and that's the way it tends to happen, at least the way the schedules in the Ivy League have been in the last few years. That this stretch of time in April, these 3 weeks, are when you know, everything gets ironed out, and you find out who your champions are going to be, you find out who your, your top four are going to be. And so all of these games are just incredibly competitive as teams are putting it all on the line. I think that's been one incredible change that's come with the Ivy League tournament. It used to be if you lost, 2 games early, you were done, and sometimes even 1 game, and you had no shot of winning the Ivy Championship. Realistically, you had no shot. You rarely get a champion who's lost 2 games, let alone 3 games. And so, now battling for 4 teams in the tournament, most every team has a chance to make that. And it's just made the game so much more exciting and competitive all the way down to the wire.
And the thing I like about the tournament is, like you said, if you lose an early game, it gives you a chance to come back. But the thing I really... I like about the Ivy League tournament is that it's a single round robin. It's not like you play everybody twice. It's one time through. And when you get those 4 teams that have emerged out of that, it's a little, I feel like it's a good opportunity for the teams that improve as the year goes along to be doing that, to be playing their best at the right time.
Absolutely.
So it's the game at Dartmouth, 1 o'clock?
A 1 o'clock start. Yeah.
1 o'clock in Hanover. If you're going to be in the Hanover area, stop by. And if not, you can watch the game on ESPN Plus. And we'll be back next week to talk about that. And then looking ahead, as the final non-league game of the year is a week from, or is this coming Wednesday against Loyola, and then I believe it's Yale after that.
Yes.
So.
Harvard at home on
Harvard
the 13th.
Harvard at home. Okay. Yeah. And that's the 25th anniversary of the '94 team. So we will have all kinds of things to talk about next week.
We will.
So, Coach Saylor, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
So, for Princeton Women's Lacrosse Coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here each week on her podcast, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.